Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm being broadcast through ShakeAndWakeRadio.com and the Truth Be Told Radio Networks. Welcome to the show. And as I always start my shows off, a little plug for the station, guys. These are only viewer-supported stations, and like I said many times in the past, if you like what they're doing and you can afford a cup of coffee a month, throw it towards the stations, because a cup of coffee times 50 people would really help out with the operation costs of the stations, and they'd appreciate it. Always good to have my friend Wayne Peters back in for a conversation. Wayne, I know you guys have heard him many times on the show, and you probably ask, why is he getting that guy back in again? But I really like having intelligent people on my show, so without making his head too big, welcome back to the show, Wayne. Always a pleasure to have you in.
It's always a pleasure getting a chance to hang out with you. I tell people often that doing your show is different doing radio than what I normally do. Normally, I in my day-to-day, I'm the host and I'm focusing on other people's thoughts and stories and interests. And when I get a chance to come on your show, it's about the things that are kind of lighting my butt on fire and things that I'm doing and that kind of stuff. So it's always a lot of fun when I get a chance to come out and rant to your community for a while. And you keep having me back, so I guess your community is going to be stuck listening to me.
Well, I talked to your booking agent. He said, yeah, I could have you back. So I appreciate that. Well, hey, Wayne, you know, I always start my show off with your pet peeve of the week. So let's hear what your pet peeve is this week, because you always got something that we both agree to.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I actually put a moment or two of thought into this, and it was pretty easy for me. My pet peeve of the week is this earwig that I've got. And for those people that don't know, an earwig is a song that keeps going in your ear, and you just keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. So I've got this song from this great Canadian Saskatchewan band actually called the Northern Pikes. An old, well-established band, and their biggest song ever was called She Ain't Pretty, She Just Looks That Way.
Yep.
That song has been rolling through my brain for the last week or so, since I learned a few things that I didn't realize about Michelle Rempel. And I always thought, you know, she was kind of okay. She was a typical politician. I knew that there was some controversy about her. But, wow, I learned some stuff this week that really, really I probably should have known, but it kind of slipped underneath of the radar. But yep, it has really just come to fit in the last week here on how big a role she has played in all of this insanity, these atrocities being played out against Canadians. I think that she has a lot of questions to ask, and I'm going to start asking some very, very hard questions of her. I didn't realize that she had spent, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 years working at the University of Manitoba in their Winnipeg lab. She probably knew those scientists that were arrested and hauled out of there. She has all kinds of medical knowledge and training and information. She sat on the dean's list, the patent board, all kinds of things with this controversial university in Winnipeg, and yet being our shadow health minister, not once did she ever ask a question of relevance in the public parliament. And she never asked anything to do with the origins of these of this pandemic or plandemic. She never asked about proving this plandemic. She never asked any of those questions. The only thing she asked about was the vaccine rollouts. Now, there's a big difference between people like Patty Haidu, who is sitting there and getting caught on the hot mic saying things like, oh, I have no idea what's in these stacks of reports. I just read what they put in front of me. That's a useful idiot. Okay, that's easy to understand. But the evil is in somebody like Michelle Rempel, who is a graduate of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, that knows the science well enough to know what to never ask in Parliament, the conversations to absolutely avoid in Parliament, to always enter conversations with working hard for you in Ottawa, directing the smokescreen without a single legitimate question in Parliament. And here we are 15 days and 2 years later into this curve where they are attacking our children. And this woman, I believe, represents pure evil in her hiding her ability to redirect in the controlled opposition to this assault against Canadians. How's that for a pet peeve?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth as far as it goes. Michelle Rempelman, she's a player to the core. Like you said, she's involved with the World Economic Forum up to her eyeballs. She's a globalist. She's just playing her part, Wayne, and she is a very, very evil, evil person. Yeah, that phrase she uses all the time, working hard for you in Ottawa. What a crock of crap. And people gobble that up. You know, she's never really brought out anything in Parliament to fact, to point. And you're absolutely correct. She's just playing a part. And boy, she's got a lot of people eating out of her lap, unfortunately.
She completely does. She's got the conservative side of the political fence absolutely snowed. Completely snowed. And people are wondering, why aren't any of these questions being asked by our public representatives? Because they know enough to not ask them. That, to me, represents pure evil.
Yep. It's her, when she got married, there's quite a bit of information came out about the man she actually married, Wayne, and that was brought to my attention a couple of years ago. And it really kind of explains exactly where she is in her fundamentals and her values. She's been given a ticket to the big party, buddy, and she's just, like I said, she's playing her part. She's very good at deceiving people. She's got a pretty face, gets up there and says all the right things, but we know that's coming from nowhere, period.
Well, it's coming with an intent to direct the people in a direction that has absolutely no benefit to the people. There is no answers or solutions in anything that is a core root of the problem, because she's not addressing the core roots of the problem. Right. And this is where, unfortunately, now this is where it leads us to understanding a fundamental difference in the discussion of what we're up against. If she was asking the right questions, would we still be addressing this like it was a natural event? Would our government still be addressing all of these measures like they're doing something for our health? Or would they be addressing this like this was a bioweapons attack on our country and we are at war? Big difference in the discussion.
Sure is. Well, it is a bioweapon, and it's being unleashed on us, and it is going to devastate our society. What's going on with this thing, Wayne? It absolutely blows me away. It really does. That people, for some reason, can't see it. But I listened to, I forget what was his name, a doctor talking last night. Morgan, I think his last name was, but anyways, I should know that. But he really kind of explained it in a way that I've never really kind of thought about it that way. I know that, you know, society is brainwashed, people are brainwashed, but it's actually a state of hypnotism that we're seeing in society right now. And to be quite honest, I never really thought of it that way before, but it really truly makes sense. And the way they hypnotize society, as he was explaining, is if you keep reiterating a lie to somebody every day, and that's all they hear on the radio and TV, everywhere they go, they hear the same narrative. It actually puts people into a state of hypnosis, even though we don't know it. They're hypnotized. So I thought that was pretty interesting. What do you think about that? Is that actually what's going on? So how do we snap them out of hypnosis? Snap your fingers?
I think that's absolutely accurate. And what they figured out is through the technology, and I think I may have brought this up once before in your show, is every time there's a major development in technology, somebody tries to take advantage of it to take over the world, right? I mean, this is just the nature of technological advancements, and social media is a technological advancement. So this gave them the ability to engage all of the lessons that they had learned throughout the days of history. Raptor, Mouse, Dallin, all of these things, and turn this into a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day programming of weapon. So that's kind of where it took us with this advancement of technology. So these guys have figured out literally how to build the path that they want to take us to the cliff that they want, and then they shine a light on both sides of the of this path and say that, look, they are creating choice and opposition. So, you know, this is where the illusion. So we've got what, liberal lights and conservative lights, but they're both agreed upon the path to destruction. So we have got to get off of this path of this dividing line that we have as a society between our political ideology, and because right now this is what divides us as a society, and we are beholden from above based on how people define our political ideology. If you're a liberal, then you must be politically reliable and be the first in line for jabs and things like that. And you must always support the narrative, even if it is evil, because that is how you signal your political reliability. And the problem is that both of the all of the lights on the path that we're on are absolutely corrupted, and we've got to get off of this path that we're on ultimately. And I think we're absolutely changing that, but this is a slow process of rebuilding a new alternative reality to what they experience. But it's happening.
Yeah, it's teaching people to learn to unlearn. It's a very hard process because people have been programmed all their lives to think a certain way. And now we've got to get that thinking out of their brain and make them realize that everything they've been taught in their life so far up to this point is a lie. It's a tough task. It really is. I mean, some days the hypnosis factor, when I really started thinking about that way, it really, really makes sense, because there's guys that I talk to that are educated people. They're not dummies. The lights are on upstairs, but for some reason, they absolutely refuse to believe that the government would do anything negative to them, that the government could be involved in something that was very nefarious and not in their best interest. They just have a hard time wrapping their brain around that, even though the facts, the information, everything is in front of your face now. There's no hiding what's going on. All you have to do is look, yet they still refuse to look. So that's the kind of people that I really I find the most frustrating when I'm talking right now to people. I keep coming back at them because I figure there might be a chance to wake them up. I think I'm going to have to change my my narrative and go after people that are really starting to listen, because there is a lot of them out there now that are really starting to pay attention. And I'm seeing that in my community now, Wayne. I'm really starting to see it. So this town hall coming up, you're going to have to come up here for a drive, Wayne. Time to come visit Terrace, buddy.
I've been aware of what you guys got going on out there and what it's connected to. And this is exactly what I'm referring to, these alternative realities that are shaping and starting to happen, that are being created outside of this controlled information. And this is why these people that are educated are the most difficult to reach, because they're in controlled environments. What the parameters of what is acceptable information sources for them is so limited because of the dependency of their positions that they cannot access, even though the information is out there, they're not able to or allowed to access this through the control of information. Right. And so this is where we have to adjust as a society and understand the difference in types of warfare. And war isn't always just about guys storming a beach with machine guns. We are in an informational war right now, and this is what we're up against, is a battle of information. So it's kind of understandable. So this is where we have to adjust our tactics and weapons for the different types of war that we're engaged in. And finding the methods of discovery that works with these folks is something that we're working on. Understanding where people are at and how to meet them where they are, and providing them with an alternative, that makes sense to them, where they're at instead of going in, you know, with the wrong weapon or the wrong perspective. That's not going to help them. So it's this. I mean, this is a learning process as a society. Canadians have never experienced anything like this before. Globally, we've not experienced anything like this before. This is a world war of biblical proportion, and it is still unfolding. It's a time of great opportunity for those that are advancing in different ways and modalities of communication and alternatives and resources. I'm incredibly inspired by what I see developing outside of the current battlefront, but at the same time, I'm painfully aware of what is coming, and it's we're a long ways from the end of the darkness. That's for sure.
Yeah, we got some major battles ahead of us, but we're plunking forward. What we were referring to a few minutes ago there, folks, is there's a group of doctors going to be touring British Columbia and hitting all small towns north, and Terrace is on the list, and Prince Rupert's on the list. It's going to be four doctors coming into town, and we're going to be doing a town hall. Doctors have great notoriety. Like Wayne said before the show started here today, I'm going to have 100 years of knowledge sitting down in front of people and really kind of hammering out to them exactly what's going on from their perspective as this scandemic continues to unfold in our society. Now, of course, like you said, Ring, we got a new variant coming out, and of course, the way the media, it's just so predictable how the media is going to portray this. They come out, it's a new variant, of course, and now they're making these statements that this, by folks, is just by far the most deadly of any of them that have come along so far. Immediately, the fear just rises into people again. They're going, what the heck? And of course, they come out with an announcement that they're going to have a vaccine for it by February. Isn't that great, man? It's going to be 100, listen, it'll be 100% effective. It'll be safe, and we're going to test it for at least 3 weeks, waiting before we unleash it on the public. Aren't we great? But we don't have to worry about it because we got absolute zero accountability. We could put cyanide into these vaccines, Wayne, and give them to people, and nobody could touch us. Isn't that great? The government has got our butts covered, man. I love this business. It's a no-fail business working for this company, this Pfizer Johnson. They just gave me a huge promotion for saying that, Wayne. I got paid $100,000 to say that on the air today, man. Anyways, it's a joke. It's not a joke, but it's a joke. If I don't try and make some humor out of this, I will. I have to get humor in every day in my life now, Wayne, because if I didn't, I think I'd really start blowing some circuits, because we're all, you know, getting frustrated as hell. But in the same local, I see all kinds of encouraging things happen. I had a couple this week with young people, conversations I got involved with. And then today there was a little gig I told you just out of Terrace here in a little place called Jackpine. And, the engagements we were getting from people, when you think that people really aren't aware of what's going on, that a lot of them are still asleep. Well, I think we experienced the contrary today, where a lot of people were coming in and wanting to engage in conversation and taking the printed material that we gave them. And I kind of was actually surprised at the amount of people that responded. So I think we're seeing it turn. I really am. I think people are going to really start to get educated. Now you know, and I know, that they're putting these jabs into children. They're actually right now in Canada vaccinating children with this poison. Boy, that's going to have an effect on children, I think, very quickly, Wayne, and I hope that gets out in the media, because what else is it going to take to get people to wake up right now? It's absolute insanity. What do you think about this? Poisoning our children. Isn't that great, man? Don't you love these guys? They're evil, Wayne. You know, I think about these guys. These guys come from the pits of hell, because they know, you know, folks, they know these guys that are doing this to our society, every one of them, they know that they're hurting people. They know they're going to hurt these children. They absolutely know that this is going to have devastating effects on our children. And yet they're just rolling it out like it's candy. They're very evil, evil people. We have a hard time wrapping our minds around the way they think, Wayne. I do anyways, buddy. Go ahead.
Oh man, this is so infuriating to me. We have heard from the most prestigious medical experts, actual medical experts, putting their faces, their names, their careers on the line looking for nothing but the truth to come out for a discussion to be had, screaming from the mountaintops that this is the worst idea in the world. This is going to create so many problems. They are identifying these problems specifically. In Ontario, more than 500 cases of myocarditis in youth already. Already, more than 500 kids whose lives have been destroyed
for that an illness is a thousand.
That not one of them would have gotten.
Yeah, that number is 1,020. That number is 1,027 across the country for cases of myocarditis. In Ontario, 500, just over 500, 517. I just looked at the numbers, but it's astronomical. This, people, tell them what myocarditis is. I'll tell them if you don't, Wayne, but tell them what it is and how devastating it is to young people.
This is an instant shortening of life at best. If they survive the initial event, they are going to be unpredictably possible to drop at any point thereafter. This is an inflammation of the heart that and there's different aspects of it as well. And I'm not a doctor, so I'm not the one to talk about it. But I'll tell you what, we've listened to dozens of them that are absolutely talking about this. But yet our government, our rogue medical health authorities are still attacking kids with this bioweapon when not one of these kids stood a risk of dying of this. None of them. And we are jabbing them with this experiment that at best is going to alter their DNA. At worst, people don't even – people heard about the nightmares of Bill Gates' experiment in Africa with his AIDS vaccine.
Yeah.
They don't realize that this vaccine that they're giving people, that's exactly what they are giving them, is an automatic case of autoimmune disorders. This is what this jab, that is the only guarantee that this jab is going to give you. That's the only thing that it is going to provide you, is a case of autoimmune disorder. Whatever might have been going on in your system, you may not even known about, is absolutely going to become lethal to you now thanks to these injections. And this is now any exertion that these kids undergo is going to be a potential life-threatening event. They are knowingly doing this. Now, I have put out and been hammering and railing on my Twitter account and everywhere I can where I don't get censored, and I'm on my last legs on Facebook, so I've been told that my accounts will be removed. But the Sick Kids Hospital is all proud of the protocols that they have put out, and how noble are they preparing all of these protocols for these kids and their adverse reactions to these vaccinations. You know what that is? That is a pre-admission of guilt that they are going to be harming children. This is normalization of the of atrocities, and people still cannot figure this out. The COVID is the false flag. The jabs are the bioweapon. They are the weapon, and they are willingly, knowingly, virtue signaling their way, dancing and photographing their way down to the local jab station to attack their own kids. At what point, how many parents is it going to take before they realize they've killed their own kids, before they start hunting these monsters down themselves? That's the point where I start to be afraid, really afraid. Well,
you remember, Wayne, it was 15 days to flatten the curve, but you know what, folks? It wasn't 40 days into this that Trudeau is already talking about the vaccines as the way out of this, blah, blah, blah. He started conditioning society. Now we find ourselves in a segregated society where you've got the vax turning on the unvaccinated, and it's being propagated by the government, and people are gobbling it up. Pretty soon, Wayne, they're going to come and take all us unvaccinated people, and they'll just tell society that these guys are such a threat, we're just going to go put them in this camp, and we'll keep them isolated so they can't harm you. And everybody will go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, wait a second, folks. Where did we see that before? Wayne, let me think now. Germany, what year was that? Yeah, go ahead.
here's the sad part of this is in a sick and twisted way, they're kind of going to be right, because what's going to happen is by the time they're on jab 4, 5, 6 and they're looking down, you know, planning their holiday seasons out for the next 10 years, and they've got a plan and schedule in for jab 14, 15, and 16, anybody that looks at them, that is not jabbed might be lethal to them, because if they get a paper cut, they're going to die without their next jab. So any little form of life is going to be potentially lethal event for these people who are going to have absolutely zero immune system other than what these jabs give them for every specific. So every time they come up with a new alphabet variant, you're going to need to step up and get a jab or you will die. So anybody that is not vaccinated, that is immune to all of these things, that can go out and enjoy the earth without any fear of anything, is going to be these people are going to need to live in a bubble. So now there are more of them than there are of us. So how do they protect the masses from the minority? They're going to be forced to put us in a bubble because we are healthy.
Well, you know, Wayne, when they brought the movie out, Zombie Apocalypse, they knew back then that the virus is going to show up in society one day, and the result would be mass vaccinations. And once they got them to the fifth and sixth boosters, you basically are going to have that movie playing out right in front of our faces, because this is absolutely going to devastate people's bodies. And they just have no idea what they've signed up for. Once you lose control of your body, you've lost it all, folks. And right now, the Canadian public is accepting. Right now, at this point, they're accepting these vaccine passports. The majority are going along with this. We're really in a lot of trouble, Wayne. We really are, because we know where that's going to take us. It's never going to stop, folks.
These people are creating a vaccine dependency. It's not going to, passports aren't even going to matter very soon, because, like I said, once people get into that, into the more higher numbers of getting these jabs, they're going to become utterly dependent on survival for the jabs. So they're not going to be forced into compliance with passports and whatnot. That's the passports aren't the objective. It's a vaccination in arms race that we're actually up against.
Yeah, and I think so. Absolutely.
And when people start to realize that once they have surrendered themselves to this system, and they're going to be forced to go back and get the jab or literally die, because if the sun shines on them, they will die. Basically, that's really where they're at. You know, vitamin D is evil to them, right? So once they get to that point and people start to realize, and they're going to want to get out of this jab cycle, they're going to see it for what it is then. But by then they're on 3, 4, 5, or 6 and they don't want to do it anymore. But now they're going to be stuck to it. These are the walking dead. They are the walking dead. They just don't know when their day is. And that's controlled by the state.
Once you've given up that control, once you've given up the control of your body to the state, you're lost, because like Wayne just said, you know, they've got us on a booster now. They're talking about boosters. Now, of course, they have another variant coming out that, of course, is deadlier than the last couple. It's just the worst one yet. And, of course, they have made announcements that they're producing at light speed. They're going to produce another vaccine for that. And you're going to have to take that to make your passport work, combined with the ones you've already taken. It's just going to continue, and people are going to be dropping dead like flies, Wayne. It's like, holy smoke. This is going to make a good movie. This is going to make a good movie someday. Go ahead.
There's already a couple of movies out there exactly detailing this, but that's what you said there isn't quite right. This new moronic virus, sorry, I cannot use their acronym. it's not as deadly to the unvaccinated as you barely get a symptom. But to the vaccinated, the already vaccinated,
it's going to be terrible.
Now a sleeper.
Because their immune systems are taking a killing. Exactly. So I know your doctors have talked about that. Go ahead.
The nature of variants is, yes, they recreate themselves. It's an animal that wants to live. It does not really want to kill its host. It wants to be just toxic enough to survive off of living off of its host. So it gets naturally, as it progresses and evolves, it gets less deadly and more transmissible. So as it's going here, it's not anybody that isn't already suffering an autoimmune disorder is never even going to notice that it existed. But anybody that is suffering an autoimmune disorder, whether that disorder is natural or fabricated, is going to be susceptible to this evolution. And every time these variants evolve, they get less deadly, less deadly, less deadly. The rest of us are not going to have anything to worry about, but they're always going to be increasingly more deadly to those with progressive dependency on their autoimmune disorder goop.
You know, you think about it, Wayne, these guys, they're kind of geniuses, you know, because these psychopaths sat down in a room.
Evil.
They're evil psychopathic geniuses. They are. Because they've sat down and they have figured this out, how they can completely control society, how they're going to be able to completely manipulate society to go down this path. And we see people now lining up for that path, women taking their children in and allowing this stuff to be injected into their bodies. I didn't think I'd ever see that in my time, Wayne, because we're supposed to be intelligent people. We're supposed to look into anything that goes into our child's body. Especially a youngster at that age, it's your responsibility to find out if there is negative effects, and they're out there, but the government, of course, isn't telling people about that. That's criminal. And the people that are administering this, they're all going to be held accountable. I mean, I honestly believe that. Go ahead.
It's going to have to happen. What people aren't seeing, and maybe they are, even I underestimate how many people are awake out there. What they're doing in order to survive is different than being awake. And if they truly knew the dangers, they probably wouldn't do some of the things that they're doing to survive. So that's the crux of it. So they're not getting the truth of the dangers, but they're not fully immersed in taking part. And that's the dangerous part where we're at here now is as more people start to take part in the evil. And when it comes to that, this is where there's a big, big gap in the reality of what people are seeing, what they're being exposed to, what is available to them for information. And this is like what we talked about earlier. People only know about the information that's available to them. And the evil geniuses have been ever so diligent on silencing the narrative, taking people's voices away from them, creating this digital genocide where anybody with a dissenting voice is removed from platforms or from public access. They have literally been on a murder spree in the digital space of truth voices for a long time. They don't even have to kill the body anymore. All they have to do is take away the avatar. And you see this happen continuously. Anytime somebody's over the target and starts to actually reach some people, they get executed in the avatar world and they fade from memory, and this has become acceptable. So that is the new assassination method. Perfect example of that is a Canadian philosopher named Stefan Molyneux, who actually just describes this exact process because they executed him on that. He was as popular as Jordan Peterson, right? And is outspoken and is real and absolutely disallowed in the public space. This is a battle that you're in a different realm in with radio, but I'm experiencing this right now. We're under assault from the mainstream media, and I've coined a new acronym for MSM. It is mercenaries serving murderers. That is what mainstream media are. They are mercenaries, hired assassins, serving murderers.
That's a good assimilation, Wayne. I'm gonna have to remember that one.
Right? Is there a better analogy for what they actually truly are?
You kind of like to on the, well, it hits it right on the head exactly what they're doing. But the thing about it, you know, Wayne, these people that are all taking part of this, they think in their brain and think inside themselves that, you know, I'm going along with this crap and everything's going to be fine. Me and my family are going to be taken care of. And I just go along with the program here, even though I know it's wrong. I'll get my pension and everything will be fine. But what they don't realize is that when it comes to a certain time, they're going to be just as disposable as you and me and anybody else that's standing against this government. They're shooting themselves in the foot and they really don't know it. They think they're part of the game, but they're not. They're just another pawn in the game. They're just down, they're just up a couple rungs on the ladder from you and me, Wayne. What do you think? Is that a good analogy?
If those people, if there are people out there that are aware that what they are taking part in, if they are surviving or living or getting by or escaping the alligator through the avails of this evil crime spree, ignorance of the law is no excuse. We're coming for them. If they are knowingly read in and taking part actively in any way, shape, or form in this biological warfare against the people, we're coming for them. If there is anybody that is profiteering from this and wants to get onto the right side of history, at this point, I can't believe that there are any, almost any truly people in positions of influence in any of this that are just idiots. They are knowing and a part of this at some level. They understand that they have a role in all of this, and we're coming for them. This is happening because we will never get to the future without finding a path or to remedy and justice. There is no such thing as reconciliation without justice. If people think that reconciliation for the natives and the indigenous, whatever term you want to use to make yourself politically feel better, I really don't care. If people ever thought that that was a big discussion, reconciliation for the victims of the concentration camps or the indigenous in Canada, that ain't going to be anything compared to the needs that are going to be have to be met for reconciliation of this biggest genocidal experiment in human history that is underway, but it is coming apart. And when that happens, it's going to be a long, long list of names and faces and people that are going to have dates and times and appointments at places like the Nuremberg trials. Now, I'm no judge, and I don't ever want to be a judge. That is a role I won't relish, but I will absolutely help build a road and a pathway and a sidewalk and whatever it takes to get these people to that position of remedy and justice so that the people can move forward in the future. And I really think that this is coming. It is absolutely happening. More and more I'm convinced of this every single day. Right now, my biggest question is, how many are we going to lose along the way? Because we are going to lose billions. How many we lose is up to us. If we can come together as community and as humanity and start to work together instead of thinking that the alligator is going to get us last. People think they're trying to protect themselves when they would have far more protection themselves if they helped the community protect them.
Good point. Really good point. And that's another truer word could be said. We well, I absolutely, I agree with you, Wayne. But to get people, it's really hard sometimes to get to get people to think along those lines, you know, because like I said, they've been so indoctrinated into the mighty dollar and greed, and it's got to have this, got to have that. That's a really tough bubble to burst in some people. But all we can do is keep trying, right?
Just people along. Have to realize, even if we disagree on smaller points of subject matters, people have to quite easily all agree that we've got bigger problems that needs to be addressed, that we need to start getting over some of these petty little differences and these individualistic panty-throwing temper tantrums that we have. We need to get over this shit and find some common purpose, a common cause, and put an end to some of this this insanity. It is not as impossible as people might think or feel or believe. They only need to know and understand a few basic things. This is a top-down ideology and a bottom-up implementation. We can end all of this insanity at the municipal level, and we can end it dead in our tracks. It's as simple as understanding that the people that are making all of this pain and suffering happening are people that are read in or are bought off or sold out to this corrupt agenda. Start addressing them as criminals and realizing that, okay, you may not be able to arrest them, but you can absolutely replace them. These people are incumbents primarily in your school boards, in your municipalities. And people need to do this. Step up and take responsibility for the communities. Get your like-minded concerned community groups together and come up with a community strategy to on unified points, fix your community first. Globalism dies in your community.
Absolutely.
At that level. And the, absolutely. As we're starting to see this happen, we are seeing small cases of people actually taking these initiatives and looking outside of what is being handed to them. Instead of waiting in line for somebody to give you a tool, go and dig one up. There's lots available. And this is where groups and organizations like Vaccine Choice Canada, Ethics Over Fear, and then some of the independent news organizations, they are great resources of providing you guys with actionable, effective tools. Get them. Take back your communities. It's not as difficult as people might think, but it boils down to one thing, accepting personal responsibility for the community that we live in. But also, we have to realize at this point that if we continue to allow ourselves to skate down this mountain slope, no good is going to come out of any of the directions that any of the alternatives within our establishment service corporations are taking us. There is no good can come of this. And this reflects perfectly right back to what we opened the show on. The comparison between Patty Hajdu and Michelle Rempel. These are the people that are fighting or arguing over the health and wellness of Canadians nationwide when one is corrupted and purposely, intentionally misleading the population by omitting relevant discussion because they're smart enough and trained to do that to further this inoculation agenda. Because why? They are all contractually obligated to the same contracts. They might appear to be on opposite sides of the fence, but they both signed on to that UNSDA, which has an entire vaccination program within it.
One's got lipstick, the other one doesn't, buddy.
Hey?
One's got lipstick, the other one doesn't.
Exactly. It's the same trough. And now they are so greedy, they're not even allowing this. Like, it's just insane. And the sooner people realize they may disagree with somebody else in their neighborhood about a problem that something else, but we're never going to get a chance to resolve those problems if we're all zombies or walking dead or the poor.
When your immune system is down to about 15 or 20% of its efficiency, we'll see what happens in society. And that's where they're taking us. Hey, Wayne, I want to get your thoughts on a couple things before you got to get out of here in about 10 minutes. What do you think about what's happening in British Columbia? I know that you've been watching a little bit of the flooding out here. But what they're telling us now is that we're getting hit with 120 milliliters today, whatever that breaks down to. But they're telling us the one that's coming in 2 days, 2.5 days from now, will make the first two look like a picnic. That is a huge monster coming in. It's going to hit BC in about, they say, a little less than 3 days. I was just watching a report on it. And this one's got them absolutely terrified. What do you think about this all of a sudden coincidence of storm after storm after storm all lining up to hit British Columbia in a pretty close area, the lower Fraser, the Abbotsford area, the lower mainland is where these storms almost like they got a bullseye and they're heading for it. What do you think of this? Because it's insanity what's coming, man. This is going to absolutely – people don't realize how bad this is going to get this week, Wayne, but I wouldn't be understating it if I said that it's just going to completely destroy the infrastructure of the province in the lower mainland. Go ahead. What do you think?
I don't believe in coincidence after coincidence after coincidence, I know that since the German tribes wiped out the four Roman legions, obliterated them since the beginning of times, or since then, warring countries have depended and attempted to control the weather. Battle plans for the last 7,000 years have been based on the weather, dependency on the weather, and there has been a weather control race raging for decades and decades and decades and decades. And anybody that does not believe that they cannot control the weather is absolutely willfully ignorant. So, right. That being said, when you have a weather war event, wouldn't it pretty much look like what's going on in British Columbia and Newfoundland?
Perfect scenario, buddy. And it's not a coincidence, Wayne. I absolutely agree with what you're saying. Go ahead.
So we're not privy. We don't have access to evidence proof, but when you start overlapping coincidences and coincidences and the results, because I mean, we got to understand what we're up against. These guys, they control and manipulate almost everything on the planet, you know, and even outside of the planet. So anything that happens when these things, they're not natural events, not by any stretch of the imagination. So why? Who benefits? This is the kind of things that they do to use and control and manipulate. So this comes down to the moronic variant, because anytime they come out with something and they're pointing the finger at this, say, hey, look at this, this is an important, dangerous fear, you know full well they're doing that because they don't want you looking at the real evil that they're perpetrating behind the scenes elsewhere. And the instant people start to focus on something that is real, as far as for destruction and coming at them, the real warfare events being perpetrated against them, as soon as they start to look at those things and start to organize and discuss them, there comes another moronic variant. And this is exactly where we're at. Again, so now we have to look around. What is going on that they don't want us looking at? Well, there's a couple of really big things that they absolutely do not want us looking at is – in Canada particularly, they do not want us looking at the Ghislaine Maxwell case that is about to start in the States. Why? Because that is the direct connection to the money laundering and all of the evil that has been growing out of the den that these evil entities have in Canada. Most people don't realize that most of the evil top 30 families are heavily invested in Canada or actually even originate out of Canada. Canadians are some of the most evil people on the planet, but it's hard to believe. So this lady and her child's trafficking organization with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates and all of these things, they have got all of the dirt on all of the people in the world. So they do not want any of us looking at that. Spare no expense. They will literally drop nuclear weapons before they want us paying attention to what is happening in that particular case. So that's a big one. That is a really big one. And another one specifically more Canada related, and this is where, again, ties into what they want you to look at, is because they don't want you looking at something else. So they want us to look at this new moronic variant. Why? Because they just finished doing some assassination pieces, basically trying to portray that the opposition movement, what they consider the anti-vax movement, I would call them the vaccine aware movement, which is tens and tens and tens of thousands of professionals that are choosing to walk away from the corrupt medical system rather than surrender to these experiments. So this movement has been growing and growing and growing, massively powerful. So what they've been doing now, CBC specifically did a piece on this, projecting that these people are now a new danger because they are attempting to fill up the courts with nonsense and malarkey and these conspiracy theories that ties them to these radical right-wing extremists. So now these people are dangerous because they're jamming the courts with their right-wing radical theories.
Sorry for laughing.
Why? We gotta do it.
Because it works.
I'm sorry. Because they don't want people talking. They don't want people talking about the origin of this junk, or the whether masters, it's real or not.
Exactly.
Because masters all of a sudden, the whole discussion has to change. Then all of a sudden, the question instead for Michelle Rempel is not, what were your thoughts on the vaccine rollout? But did you know the scientists that got busted for shipping bioweapons out of the university that you worked in for 14 or 15 years? And why are you not asking about the crimes against humanities and the actual lethalities of this? And where is the evidence that this is this was not a lab leaked event? Where is the evidence that this is not man-made event? Because if this is a man-made event, that's a
it is
situation.
That's a whole new ball of wax. And she is dirty, dirty, dirty. Wayne, I knew that
all
years
of them
ago.
Are then.
They've all bought into the same program, unfortunately, in Canada. Well, look what the Liberals and the NDPs did this week. They shut down Parliament, 4 days of Parliament, and they voted to have it at home. Isn't that great, Wayne? I mean, don't you just love these guys?
And what are,
unbelievable. What unbelievable crap.
This was almost my pet peeve of the week. Mr. Jugmeet Singh.
Oh, I can't even. Oh, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Sorry, Wayne. Go ahead.
Demanding to drop immigration rules so that we could get more healthcare professionals for our ailing, understaffed healthcare system. We need to bypass all of these immigration rules so we can get hospital staff.
Sorry, I'm laughing at it because I heard that come out of his mouth. And, you know, I don't know what to say, Wayne. I can't say what I want to say on my radio show. But that guy is just a piece of poop. Go ahead.
If I was one of the 500,000 recently forced into unemployment qualified medical professionals, I would make sure that that man never had a moment's sleep for as long as he lived, because this is the hypocrisy of exactly what they're doing now. They've gutted the system. First, they've raped and pillaged the system. They have stolen from it. They have got thousands and thousands of middle managers paying themselves exorbitant salaries, making killer profits off of their pension investments, and that's something we didn't even get started on. And they're all making profits. The only people left in the healthcare system now are people that are profiting from the vaccination arms race.
Yeah. Unbelievable. The unions, it's just unbelievable. It really is.
The unions are invested in primarily vaccinations people. So this is where the profits are coming from. This is all about vaccine profits, whether they're getting it from the front end or the back end. Everything is about maintaining the narrative, funding, 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 profits for jobs invested in by the unions.
And now they're coming after our kids.
Say, Barry.
And now they're coming after
Steve.
Your kids.
Barry and Wayne, did you hear? Well, I heard a interview where a man was saying that there was 500 brand new billionaires all over the world just from COVID-19, and there was a wealth distribution of $3.5 trillion in the last 18 months, 20 months, whatever it's been, from the poor,
from 1 trillionaire to 9 trillionaires in the last 18 months.
Yes, 500
trillion.
500 brand new,
that's a lot of money,
billionaires.
Can you donate a little bit to the station here, folks? Go ahead, Wayne.
I'm on my last legs on social media because I shared a post about a screenshot of Moderna's stock skyrocketing at the mention of the moronic variant. Now, here's something that most people don't know. Moderna is a brand new company, and it's 50% owned basically by the U.S. government. So what's going on is these private public corporation ventures. So the government is invested in all of these techno industries. So they own half of these things. And the only things that this new economy is built on is are things that they're invested in. So every union that is invested in Moderna knew what was going on. They are accessories to the crime. And anybody that is profiteering from an investment in Moderna is a criminal. And it can be proven by the investment dates of their union or whenever they invested in Moderna, which is a brand new corporation, which is now creating billionaires by the death and harm being inflicted upon billions of people in this population. That is the new economy.
Well, I hope and pray every day, Wayne, that these people are held to account in the very near future, because what they are doing to humanity right now, it tears my heart apart. It really does, buddy. But I think their day of reckoning is coming. With that being said, but my hour is up with you. So quickly, before you have to let you go, why don't you share with people where they can find you on social media before they shut it all down? And got to thank you again for coming in, Wayne. Always great talking with you, my friend.
This lifetime or the next, justice will prevail. It's never in our hands. It's always in God's. So I have faith in that. At the end of the day, God wins, and the tides are turning, and people are having their come to Jesus moments all over this planet at a faster rate than ever before, and our army is winning, and I look forward to what the future brings once we are through the darkness. People can keep in touch with us on ethicsoverfear.com. Right now, that is kind of where we're kind of regrouping at after they continuously wipe out my other platforms. That's we've been building in secure locations. So ethicsoverfear.com, you'll find us there. WhatsUpCanada.org, we're going to start bringing that up to speed here over the next week or two. We've got so much to bring the people as far as for truth that we haven't been able to share on social media because the price just gets us removed. So the good stuff is coming. Is the good stuff, the really, really good stuff is coming really, really soon. There are victories, people. There are victories coming. So get in touch with us. Find us. Connect with us. We are still on Facebook. You'll find us at Ethics Over Fear on Facebook. What's Up Canadian on Facebook. And some of the other media platforms. We're out there. Reach out. Connect with us. Get on our emailing list. Things are about to get dicey, and that's going to be your fastest way to the root source of the truth and information. Cool. We've gone international as an affiliate with the World Council for Health, and we're getting some amazing information coming from those guys. So I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing coming as far as the actual manifestation of structure outside of the current paradigms. It's a beautiful thing.
Sounds super cool to me, Wayne. So I'll have to have you back here in the near future, and you can update us on what's going on. Thanks for coming in again today, my friend, and we'll be talking to you very soon. Tuesday night.
My pleasure. Thank you again, Barry. And say hi to Dr. Nagasi. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll keep you. I will keep you posted on the town hall, and you'll be keeping me posted. It's going to be quite an event here, I believe. So looking forward to that, Wayne. Have a great day, my friend.
You too.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with Mr. Ron Stevens, and I know anybody listening to Ron enjoys his conversation, so hang in. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Bye. Second hour, and thanks again to Wayne for coming in. Always a great conversation with that man. Great conversation coming up the next hour, because I've got Ron Stevens back in, and anybody listening to my shows over the years has had the chance to listen to Ron talk lots of times. I know the audience loves you out there, Ron. I don't know how you do that with people, but they love you, so welcome back to the show, and always good to have you back in. What's your pet peeve this week, Ron?
My pet peeve? I don't have one. I do like that song. I do like that song, "Oh Canada, Our Home and Corporate Land."
I haven't heard that one yet.
We are just assets and slaves of the corporation. And always have been. And that we have to change. And okay.
Well, let's talk about how we change that, Ron. How do we change that?
Well, it's very simple. It's I'm really glad that people last time we talked that I was really glad that people in your neck of the woods are starting to wake up, and that you were speaking to some people. The lady, I got a note from a lady in Alberta after the municipal elections there, and I'm going to try and get her on my show next week. It's been a very busy time because Mom was in the hospital and that, but she's out now, thank God. But I got a note from a lady in Alberta who said that her town was so angry about what was going on, the global to local nonsense, and their people had woke up in the town, and not one incumbent was elected. So now they have control of their town. And that's all we really have to do. You're not getting a hold of the federal. You're not getting a hold of the provincial. And it doesn't really matter about the provincial and the federal, because nobody lives at those two levels. We all live in our communities. And we have to get control of our communities.
Because like every
single municipal government is doing the bidding
of the globalists.
Yes. And that means they're causing us, the people, harm. And that's against the law. Now, I already told you this before, but I talked to a bylaw officer down at the harbor a few weeks ago, and we were talking, and I said, you do realize that the municipality is a criminal organization. And he just smiled at me. He says, yes, I understand that. And then I went up to – I had to go to the dump, so I went by the municipal hall and stopped in. And everybody was wearing masks except me. And eventually someone from administration came out, and I told the lady, I said, I was just talking to your bylaw officer, and he told me that the municipality is a criminal organization. And her eyes just bugged out of her head. I didn't see her face because she got a mask on. But her eyes certainly bugged out. But every single municipality in our country and in the United States is a criminal organization because they're working to take us down. And once we got control of our communities, we can tell them to suck air. You ain't going to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, Ron, we've talked about this lots on the show.
I know, but that is so true. Achilles heel.
That you're absolutely correct. Wayne, my guest on the first hour there, absolutely came along the same line as what you're saying right now, that if we take it back at the municipal level, there's nothing they can do that we can actually take the power back, but we have to take it back, personal responsibility for what's happening in your neighborhood, in your community. And
once we have control of our communities,
then they can all shove sand.
Well, every municipality is a corporation. And just like Canada and the United States is a corporation, once we have control of our community, we can unincorporate. And then once we unincorporate, we've left the legal system and we're back to law. And that's where we've got to get to. Because the legal system, the legal club, is a complete and total fraud.
Right.
And it's used to harm people. And keep reaching in your pocket. And, you know, I don't know what it's like in BC, but here in Ontario, we've got 300,000 plus rules, regulations, and statutes. For what reason?
Money, money, money.
Money, money, money. That's it. They're just feeding off of us. Like in law, if I throw a rock through your window, okay. Whether I meant to or not, maybe I threw a rock at a tree and it bounced off the tree and went through your window. I'm still responsible for breaking your window. And I have the responsibility to fix it. If I don't know how to fix it, then I have the responsibility to go find somebody to replace your window. And I'm on the hook to pay for it. That's law. In legal, I throw a rock through your window. I go to court. They take the money, and the homeowner still has a busted window. And that's the difference between legal and law. Okay? The legal doesn't give a damn about anybody. Law does. And we got to get back to law. And the only way we can get back to law is if we take control of our communities.
So I see the Ontario government, in their wisdom, Ron, has extended the Emergencies Act for another, 4 months? End of March now? Isn't that great news? Didn't want to get off subject, but that's what I wanted to just comment on.
I mean, the people here, the people just don't pay much attention to anything. The students I talk to get it, but most of the older people don't get it. But, you know, Ontario, the Ontario hydro system was either the biggest or the second biggest public electrical company in the world. It has now been completely privatized, and that all comes out of the World Economic Forum, of which Morris Strong worked with. He worked with Klaus Schwab, and he was appointed by Bob Ray Cohen back in the 90s, right after Rio, to redo our hydro system, which was to begin the privatization of it. And that went through the NDP. It went through the Conservatives after that. It went through the Liberals, and then we're back to the Conservatives. So every single one of these so-called political parties are all criminal organizations, because they're all moving us to those guys who want complete and total control over every aspect of your life and all resources on the planet. And this is supposed to be our country. And we built everything in it, but we have zero control of anything. And that we have to change. Because if we don't change it, the children... And that's one thing Bulford said when I was listening to the video. He at least get that part of it, is that we have a responsibility and a duty to those who come after us, that they have a future and a nation. And if we don't accomplish what needs to be accomplished, then we become the guilty party, not them, not the globalists. We become the guilty party. Because we didn't do what we needed to do. And it's not that difficult. It really isn't that difficult. Once the people become determined, it's over. A hell of a lot more of us than there are of them. You know?
Yeah, as far as the constable goes, there was a couple things that he said in his talk that maybe weren't right up my alley, but in general, I have to take my hat off to the guy because he is making a stance officers aren't making in this country.
Well, the RCMP are the Queen's police.
I know that.
They're not serving
the people.
And the Queen knighted Klaus Schwab. But at least he's waking up. You know, he is something, you know, but when he's saying that, you know, that our rights here in Canada, those are the corporate rights. Okay. That ain't our rights, because they turned us into fictional persons. What they created, the legal club created, they got nothing to do with us, but. The fact that what he didn't catch quite get was that back on the H1N1 so-called virus, which they created, and they said they needed to have a pandemic within 5 years or they would lose the business model of the vaccines because it's worth a lot of money to them. The fact is that once they go to pandemic six, is what we're in now, we lose all control of the health system. It goes to the WHO. They oversee what we're doing here.
Well, they've been doing that all along, Ron.
Yeah.
Through the Chinese Communist Party. And their dictates to Canada and Theresa Tam and all the connections between them all. We know that, you know, everything really comes from the Chinese Communist Party via the World Health Organization. They've been playing us like a fiddle since the beginning of this. What I am finding with most people, Ron, right now, is that they're starting to become aware that there is something really, really nefarious going on in the country, but they don't know what to do about it. Now, when we talk about constitutional reform, which we were talking about a couple minutes ago, to get people to embrace that is very difficult. What I think we need right now is a mechanism in Canada to get people awake without getting into the constitutional conventions, because that's exactly what we need. We don't have an actual country here. We are a corporation. Right. We have a de facto government running our country. But most people, you know, that's a hard pill for them to swallow. So what could we do? Maybe here's a thought for you. We could do something a little bit softer, but would still have a major effect on Canadians as to making them aware of actually how our government's working and how we can change it. What do you think?
Well, what I think we need to do is what our forefathers did. And our forefathers who came here before there was a United States or Canada, They came here to get out from under the boot of tyranny. The boot's back on us again. And they built the communities, the towns, the villages. But they always had a community center where they would go and discuss things. And I think that's what we need now in each town. We need to be able to sit down with the people and basically educate them as to what is going on, why it's going on. And we have to teach the people right from wrong. And that will grow fast, because if you get a few people, just like Bulford there, he's talking, but if you we sat down in the community, I have a policeman here, lives just across the road from me, who is kind of like Bulford. He woke up and he is really upset, and he doesn't wear a mask because he understands the fraud of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he's hooked up with a bunch of other ex-cops and that. But we need to bring these guys together so that we can communicate in our communities, so that we can, educate the people so they understand. And this goes back to our forefathers, but also goes back to what they did in Mexico, that indigenous town in Mexico, and the same thing's going on here. These outside companies, not us, but these outside companies come in and remove our resources. And what they did in Mexico was their main resource of that community was their bush. And the council is allowing outside companies to come in and clear-cut bush. And it was the women who went to work and educated the people in the community as to the corruption that was going on in their community. And eventually, the guys didn't want to do it at the beginning. It was the women that did it. But eventually, the men accepted what the women were saying, and the men just went in and threw the council out of town, threw the police out of town, put their own police in, and put their own council in, and they haven't had a problem since. And that was back in 2011. So, because our municipalities, like OMERS here in Ontario, the Ontario Municipal Employee Retirement System, is a partner of the World Economic Forum. Like, give me a freaking break.
Imagine put that together.
And the Ontario Teachers Federation Pension Fund is also a partner of the World Economic Forum. And they're all making money. Right? It's all about their investments. And just like Rockefeller said, something has to take the place of government, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. And what they're doing is they are privatizing all the public entities in our country. So the businesses own them now. They did this in Russia already. And we can't allow it to happen. We've got 16... You don't hear this on the news. We got 16 foreign trade zones in Canada, meaning they're not part of Canada. Just like the UN is sitting on U.S. soil or U.S. soil, but it's not on U.S. soil. It's international soil. How does American soil become international soil?
These are trade zones in Canada. Explain that to people again. I'm aware of it, but a lot of people have never even heard of this, Ron.
I know, and they need to understand it.
Okay, explain it to
them. Because what they're going to do is they're going to, instead of shipping our resources over to China, because they gutted our country, and the United States, and moved all their manufacturing over to China and other low-wage industries or countries. And Morris Strong said it. He said, nobody can compete with us because we got the lowest wages on the planet. And we're shipping our coal over to China. Australia's shipping their coal over to China. They got more freaking coal plants there than you can shake a stick at.
And they're building more.
Yep. And yep. Using – we can't use our resources, but they can. And the plan is that it costs a lot of money to ship the resources to China and then ship the manufactured goods back. So what they're going to end up doing is with these foreign trade zones, and there's all kinds of them in America, they're going to end up bringing the Chinese in, the low-wage people, because it's all about business. It's got nothing to do with COVID. It's got nothing to do with climate change. It has everything to do with what Rockefeller said. Business has to take the place of government, and that's the plan. And it's all about the money, right? And these they're going to bring in these Chinese and pay them nothing and run us into the cities. And you won't have a car. You'll be on transit, which is the same thing. I mean, if you go look at, you know, what was the point of the war, the Vietnam War? You know, you've got North and South. And if you go look at North, it looks just like exactly what they're trying to put in everywhere else.
It looks like Venezuela.
Well, over North Korea, I mean, that's not Vietnam. North Korea, people only have to go on transit and bicycles and walk. And the only vehicles on the road are some taxis and the repair guys for the hydro and whatnot. But those are the only vehicles on the road. These other people don't have any vehicles. And that's the same thing they're trying to work on here. It's like a template.
We'll own nothing and be happy. Funny, they took a satellite picture of South Korea and North Korea, and South Korea is lit up like a Christmas tree, and North Korea has got no lights except for in one main
exactly.
city. And a few places in the country you see the odd lights, but the comparison between the two countries across the border is mind-blowing. I saw that picture, and I went, it says it all, doesn't it?
That's exactly, it says everything.
I know that's where they're taking us. Ron.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what is our government doing right now?
Why would we allow this to happen?
Well, I talk to people, you know, Ron, I talk to people about our government borrowing billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. And now we're starting to see inflation in Canada. That's going to get, it's going to be like a runaway train here, folks, because the government is proposing spending billions and billions more. You cannot. Any country that's done this, and I've looked at graphs of countries that have all of a sudden decided they're going to print money out of thin air, and then the inflation curve, and the graph is identical. You could lay them on top of each other with very, very little deviation between the two lines. And that's exactly what they're doing in Canada right now. Why can't people have some concern about that? Trudeau is out of control. What has he spent on this COVID? $300 billion, Ron, but he's also bought himself a whole lot of votes with the Corp or that CERB program. We're giving money away and people think it's free. Nothing is free, and now we're really going to start paying the price because the prices on food are going to go right through the roof. Let's tie that into what's going on in the lower mainland right now of British Columbia with the floods coming in and the more rain coming here this week. They say the one here, Ron, now in 3 days, I was talking to Wayne about this in the first hour, but this is really, really something I'll probably never see anything like this in my lifetime again, I hope. But the storm that they say is coming in, I was just looking at it before we went on the air today. The one coming in 3 days from now, just under 3 days, they're telling us we'll have more whack than the first two that have just hit us. So what's going on there, Ron? Why are they destroying the infrastructure of British Columbia? Because I believe this is being directed at us. I believe that.
Well, it is absolutely directed. I mean, they're flying the chemtrails with the aluminum. They did it in California. They did it in British Columbia. the fires are a lot more robust with the aluminum. Than a normal fire would be, and now they're creating the floods. You know, there was the old black and white movies back from the 50s and that. You know, if I could control the weather, I could control the earth. If I could control the food, I can control the earth, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
Exactly what they're doing. And people have to lose the fear and understand what's going on, why it's going on. They want to bankrupt the country. And then the globalists will come in and save us.
On their shiny white horses, of course.
And when everything you registered to the state, which includes your house, your car, your business, is all part of the state. And our houses, we are just tenants on the land. And they were going to take the land. Yep. And then they're going to, Mulroney's involved in that. They want to raise the population to 100 million. You're going to end up with, once they take your house, they're just going to cut it up into little pieces. And you're going to be living in a little
cubicle.
Yeah,
like you see in Japan, the little cubicles are building for people.
Yeah.
You get your 300 square feet, that's it.
Yeah.
And you come over.
And I know here they're already working on the stuff just north of me here. They want to build 185 square foot houses and 245 square foot houses. Like, give me a freaking break.
That's what you got to do to save the world, Ron. That's what they're telling you. You know, you got to reduce your carbon footprint. So buy a mini home. Meanwhile, they're living in mansions on top of hills with their helicopters and their planes. You know what? And chemtrails. As far as chemtrails go, you know what the ingredients are, Ron? It's potassium, strontium, beryllium, and mercury iodide or mercury distillate. It's actually a form of mercury. But that's what they're spraying in our skies, and every one of those chemicals is an accelerant. And of course,
it also wrecks
our biosphere, Ron, is being devastated by this.
People absolutely.
Well, people have no idea right now, and I've done some looking into it, and it's scary, buddy. When we say to people right now, believe it or not, that our biosphere is actually getting to a point where it might not be able to sustain normal growth of plants all over the world because it's in really bad shape. Well, if we lose the biosphere, Ron, then you're going to see starvation on this planet like we've never seen before, because you're going to be able to plant plants in the ground, but they're not going to grow, folks. What do you think of that, Ron? Isn't that a great idea?
I just saw another article. I've seen it like 10 years ago or longer, 15 years ago, where they're talking about the vertical farming crap again, right, in the cities. And because they don't want anybody living on the land, But back in the old days, if these chemtrail planes were flying around, that's an attack on us. They would have been shot out of the air, you know, like. But people aren't like that anymore. They've gotten so weak and so soft. They wouldn't do that to us. Well, they're doing it to you.
Well, they are. Take a look at that vapor coming out of the back of that jet, and watch what it does in the next hour. None of it's natural. And every one of them are metal-based materials. So, of course, we've got this thing called gravity. Down to the earth they come. They get into our soil. They get into our food. They get into our trees. They get into our water. And then they wonder why now we're starting to see major problems with crops around the planet. That's coming real soon. And, of course, it's all part – well, maybe it's part of the Georgia Guidestones. Who knows, Ron? Maybe that's one of the ways they plan on depopulating the planet, with mass starvation. This is a biosphere collapses. If the biosphere collapses, then we will see mass starvation. And we got the answer, though. We got the solution, Ron. We really do. And it's called cannabis. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's so simple for us to take it back. I mean, you want to fly a chemtrail plane over my community? Once we have control of the community, you do that, we'll shoot it down. Simple as that.
Well, okay? There's a county in California that did that. They now barred through the courts, and I forget the name of the county in California, but they've actually barred chemtrail planes flying over their counties. And
oh, really?
Court. Yeah, I saw a blip on that about 3 weeks ago. This county in California took the government to court, and they are not allowed to spray over top of that county again. And I'll go see if I can find that link. But that's just the power of the community.
That is the power of the community. Once we control our communities in our country, we, not the feds and not the provincial, they don't have any power anymore. Because we have the power. And if the feds say, well, you got to do this, the community is just going, suck air. You're gone. You know, you're done. Like when I ran in the 2007 election and we were doing a lot of radio shows, I told the people, I said, you know, this whole thing is just theater. What we need to do, instead of having opposing entities in this so-called parliament, what we need to do is we need a round table. Because the globalists sit around a round table and they figure out what they're going to do. And why are our people who are supposed to be looking after us fighting against each other? We need a round table so that, you know, a representative that we pick, not the party picks, but we pick, goes to the table and, you know, here's our resources, here's our population, here's what we can do and can't do, right? And when you sit down around the table and you realize what we can and can't do in any community, then we can get back to manufacturing everything we need, because we got to get back to being independent. And America's got to get back to being independent. And then we can work together, but we're still independent.
America's in a lot of trouble, Ron. A lot of trouble.
It's just
unbelievable what's going on down there, my friend. It breaks my heart. It really does.
Well,
to see what's going on.
You know, I've been hassled so much, but you know, just real quick, I was selling building materials out on Vancouver Island back in the early 70s or mid 70s, and I went through a speed trap going back to Nanaimo at Ladysmith, and I stopped off to see a customer, and I just wanted to see if he got his products and he was happy with the product and all that, because we were selling kitchens and doors and windows and whatnot. And I told him, I said, you know, I really hate these stupid speed traps, because there's not a lot of roads on Vancouver Island. But you know, they're just gathering money and harming people.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said to me, he says, we were in his backyard, and he says, what are you driving? I said, a pickup truck. And he said, well, let's go look at it. And so he's around behind the pickup truck, and he's got a pad out, and he's writing stuff down. And I'm going, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm just taking the particulars of your vehicle. Why? Well, I'm RCMP. And? Well, you're a really good guy. And I'm just going to put this out to all the people in the area, and they ain't going to bother you. You know, just keep it within reason, but they're nobody's going to pull you over in a traffic stop or any of that crap, right? And what I found was, having been hassled by the police for 10 years, you know, they shut our power off, they stole our meters, they did all kinds of weird stuff, threw us in jail. And we didn't do anything wrong. And but now the police once I talk to them, they understand that I'm the good guy, not the bad guy, right? And I don't get bothered anymore. You know, I've had police chase other police off the property because they get antsy, and the other cop says, like, why don't you go away? You know, Ron's a really good guy, and you're being irritating, so leave, right? And we have the capacity to turn this around. And we don't have to get angry about it. What I see too many people, they get angry, right? And when I was down in Kingston and we went to the mall, and when we come out of the mall, because I had two security guards come up to me and tell me I had to leave because I wasn't wearing a mask, and I had a little chat with them, and they said, oh, I see, okay. They didn't bother me after that. And when we got out, we get in the car, and Chris said to me, he says, I would have got real angry if they'd come up to me and started harping at me, but you're so calm. And that's really it, right? We need to do this in a calm manner so that we don't so much irritate the people. It's just to educate them in a quiet fashion so that they understand what's going on and they understand the threat. And I think that's the real ticket, the threat to the children, just like Fulford said on his video, right? It's all about the children, and it's all about the country. You know, we're the second biggest country on the planet, small population, less than California. More resources than you shake a stick at.
Richest resource base in the world.
And we have people going to food banks and people living in tents.
Absolutely atrocious.
Give me a break.
We should all be getting a check from this government every month based on the resource wealth of this country. And they've completely turned that around, sold us out. Like you said, Ron, it's one big corporation. And if we're ever going to have a real future in this country, we have to turn that around. We have to make those
changes. Yes, we do.
And I agree. I'm not going to argue that at all. I agree with what you said about communities. And I kind of promote that idea now of people getting involved at their local levels. Like Wayne said in the first hour, it's personal responsibility for your own community. And if people could adapt that thinking and actually get involved in the councils, like you've seen with this group in Alberta, where they're taking back complete control, there will be no goalless agendas pulled on that community because they'll just vote it down. You've talked many times about the community there in Northern Ontario where you've seen the same thing happen, where they took control of the council. And every time the old mayor there, who's a globalist to the core, wants to implement some kind of globalist agenda in the community, it gets voted down. Well, there, folks, like you said, Ron, the media and the government, either provincial or federal, they don't give a rat's butt right now about
and to tell you the truth,
and they never will. And they never will, Ron. They
to
never
tell
will.
You the truth, the provincial government and the federal government really don't have any power. Okay? We're the power. Okay? Once we have control of our communities, they can just see ya, take a hike. Right? They don't have any control over us. It's the same thing. We got to get back to the same idea. We got to be able to. We don't have to get angry at them. We just have to, it's because it's all psychology. But when I talked to that guy from the Attorney General's office, and Michael Schmidt's been bastardized for 30 years, he's never caused anybody any harm, and they raided him again at 5 o'clock in the morning in October. He agreed that Canada is nothing more than a rebranded Hudson's Bay Company. But our forefathers, when they were here and the Hudson's Bay Company was telling them what they could and couldn't do because they had their own courts and their own jails, just like the Plymouth Company, the Virginia Company, and the East India Company, our forefathers weren't weak. They just told them to suck air, right? Okay. You don't have any authority over us. And it's the same thing with the legal system. They changed our names out so they look and sound similar, but they're not. Okay. The only authority they have is over what they created, which was the legal fictional name. They don't have any authority over you, the man or the woman. Never have had. It's all psychology. And so, you know, it's when I was in court and I just said to them, I says, like, who was charged, me or the title? And they freaked out and the justice ran out the door. And but I really liked Farmer George. North of me, who has got to be kicking 80 now, and but he's always stood his ground. And when they brought him into court, because they always ask your name, okay? But it's not your name that they're looking for, okay? You're carrying the title name, your license, and all your ID is all capped. Which they created. And when George went in, they said, are you George Bothwell? And George looked at the court and said, I'm here to represent Mr. Bothwell. Right? Meaning the fiction that they created. And they haven't bothered George since.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fiction. We're living in a fictional Barry. World. We got to get back to reality.
Barry, Ron,
and, we yes, can do Steve. It. You know,
Barry,
we have
Ron.
To change our names back to what they're supposed to be. You know, if you go to the graveyard in your community, which is a corporation, you don't see any name on a gravestone that isn't the legal fictional person name. Okay? That was the asset that's dead now. Okay? Asset of the corporation. Slave of the corporation. Every single name on a tombstone in the graveyard of the corporation, which is your local community, is all caps. It's not the name. You don't write your name all caps, do you? Never.
Interesting. Steve, you
so
want to say something?
It's all 100% fraud. It's all fiction. And they used the legal club to harm the people and to enslave the people and make them assets of the corporation. And can we change it? Absolutely. And it's not that difficult. You know, we have the power. We are the power. We are the men and women. Just like they did in Mexico. They just said, okay, enough is enough. Right? You're corrupt. You're out of here. And just like they did in Alberta, you know, the people were so angry in their town that they woke up and they said, this town, municipal council and the administration are 100% corrupt and are taking us down. And we're paying their wages and we're paying their pensions and they're taking us down without our consent, without the knowledge of most of the people. But apparently they woke that town up and not one incumbent is on the council now.
Well, you know what, Ron? Everything you've said, I agree with. I know that is the only way that we're going to get control of our country again. My only concern is, do we have the time to do this? Because to get people to think like this, sure, I know there's a few communities that are doing it, but as a general body of people in Canada, are we going to have time to to implement this into people's thinking and actually get them to embrace it and make these changes.
Well,
do we have the time? Yeah. Because right now, we have a government coming at us at light speed, man. What they are doing.
But they're not our government.
Explain that to the people. Explain that to the normal people. I agree with you, Ron. And people listening to this show right now get it. But the general population don't get it. And they're still going to drink out of that trough. That's the biggest challenge we have right now.
Everything you said,
I agree with. I agree with that's the route to get ourselves out of these problems is whether we get enough people to actually do that in communities across the country to really make a difference.
Ontario has about 40% of the population of Canada. It's almost 15 million, and Canada only 38 million. We have the municipal elections next fall. And we have to work extremely hard here in Ontario to wake our people so that they understand what's going on. Once they understand what's going on and once they understand the threat to their children and grandchildren, I think that's the biggest thing. Once they understand the threat to their children and their grandchildren, I think that will click the switch.
One of the other big problems I think you're going to have right now in Ontario going forward, Ron, is that all the immigrants that have been coming into Canada over the last 6 years, especially with Trudeau opening the doors wide open here a couple of years ago and inviting everybody into the country, where they are centralizing themselves, of course, is in the big cities, Toronto, the Golden Horseshoe, Mississauga, Ontario. Now you're basically a minority. If you're Anglo-Saxon in Mississauga, the whole community has been taken over by immigrants. Well, uh-huh. Who are you going to support in an election? It doesn't matter what kind of information you hear, what we're talking about right now. It doesn't matter to these people because they've been brought in by this government. The government has been just giving them money out left, right, and center. I mean, they are treated better than our veterans in this country. Okay. Well, let's factor that just into the equation. One of the things, the biggest problem is the amount of votes that the government has brought into Ontario in the last 5 years. We are seeing approximately just over 1 million people coming into the country every year through normal immigration, through illegal immigration, through the workers programs, through the student exchange programs that are going on in this country. Every one of those people that are landing in Canada, they're not going home, Ron. So we're over 1 million a year coming into this country. They are displacing our culture. We have to stop that immediately. Because what they're doing, Ron, is they're creating a voter base for themselves, and we're getting overrun.
You look at the number of Chinese, and look at Alberta now. You have a foreigner is the mayor of Calgary now. You have a foreigner who's the mayor of Edmonton now.
Yeah.
Right. And
their loyalties are.
Yeah, and exactly. The idea is to fill our councils and the provincial and the federal government with immigrants so that they can make the rules and regulations upon our people. And we can't allow that to happen. Because if we allow that to happen, then one, we become the minority, and
that will take long.
Yeah, I mean, just in Toronto, there's something like 200 languages in Toronto, right? Last time I was in Toronto, when I left Toronto, I just thought, we ought to build a fence around this place or a wall and just call it a zoo.
I know. Because I've heard.
This has got nothing to do with us.
It's a piss hole now. Excuse my language.
You know, and I'm not a racist. Don't get me wrong.
I am not either, Ron, but there is a limit to immigration and how immigration is handled. And it's been turned upside down in Canada. What is going on right now in our immigration is just a travesty. And if it goes on, the end game is, you know what the end game is. I know what the end game is. It's to displace the Anglo-Saxon white person in Canada. We will be displaced. We will become a minority. And then they'll have complete control of all the municipalities. They understand our system, some of them better than than us. And that's why you see so many of them trying to get into the political realm, because they know the power of the local government. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, they see it everywhere. They made our people pretty much like domesticated animals. You know, we'll give you benefits, we'll give you benefits, we'll give you benefits. And people didn't understand what's actually going on. I mean, the same thing, that fewer and fewer of our people are having children. And back in the 80s, they were pushing this that, you know, you have the right of enjoyment of your life. It costs $185,000 to raise a child. Why have a child? Why not go get a cottage or a boat? Right? They were pushing all that stuff. You know, it's all about you and your enjoyment. And our population went way down.
Yeah.
As far as the number of the kids to a family went. And now they're saying, oh, well, you know, you're getting old and you didn't have any children, so we got to bring in these immigrants. I mean, it's all part and parcel of their plan. And we have to break the plan. And, when I think about my uncles and grandfathers who busted their butts to build their communities and to watch our communities disappear, it's sickening. But in Quebec, when I went to visit my uncle in Quebec, who's 94 and still a strong guy, that particular community just across the Ottawa River and just north of Ottawa, this is how powerful we can be, Barry. The language police came into their community or their county and told them that they had to change all of the signs to French. And it's basically a French-English county. And they are very strong people in that county. They just told the government to shove off. We didn't agree. You didn't ask us, okay? Well, no, we passed the legislation. Well, you didn't ask us, okay? So you coming in here telling us we got to change all the signs to French, shove off. And then they came back and said, well, okay. You can keep the English signs, but you have to have little wee fonts and great big French fonts. And they told them to shove off. And they came back a third time. And that was on TV way back when. And the whole community came out and just walked the government officials to the edge of town and said, don't come back. And they still got their signs.
What a way.
And it's just like what you mentioned with that community in California that said, don't fly them planes over us. Okay? We are the power. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, you got these idiots, a handful of idiots, who are telling us what we can and can't do. Doesn't work that way. Not in law. It might work that way in legal, but it doesn't work that way in law. Mm. And so... You know, I'm absolutely certain that we are going to start moving forward. And when I talk to the students, they understand what's going on, and they are very, very concerned about their futures. And we have a duty, as simple as that. Our forefathers had a duty. My grandpa had a duty, and we got a duty. Right.
Amen.
And
I see those planes flying over us all the time. I went on Amazon there, Ron, and tried to buy a couple stingers, but I couldn't find them. So I'd like to buy a couple rocket launchers, and I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, when they first started,
that's what we need to do, because they're killing us.
When they first started spraying, I was taking a lot of videos, and every time I finish my show, I'd go outside to have a smoke, and there'd be an X over my house.
Spray that guy.
that just made me laugh, man.
Well, people don't see it, Ron, because they're all walking around with their heads buried into their phone. I mean, the biggest problem we have in our society now is neck problems because people's heads are always down. And you know what?
Barry, I'm sure you're starting to see more people scratching their heads and go, what exactly is going on here?
I am, Ron. I am. I'm seeing.
And that's all the kinds ticket. That's the trigger. And because once people start to scratch their head and go, what the heck's actually going on here? Then their mind opens so that they can accept the reality of what's going on in their town.
Just when things were really getting frustrating here, Ron, I had a couple of those experiences this week. And what it does, it just charges you back up. We know that we feel like we're banging our heads against the wall a lot of times, but I am now really starting to see some changes in our society where it surprises me how many people are really starting to pay attention. So it's time to put our foot right to the floor, and we've only got 2 minutes left, Ron.
Okay, so but the beauty of it is, Barry, is that they screwed up. Okay, they did things generationally, really slowly, so people didn't notice, and now they're trying to cross the finish line, and they're waking people up. Okay.
Well, they're pushing harder than
you
ever.
You know, right, like why isn't there any groceries on my shelf? Why can't I buy this? Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
And all of that stuff's waking people up as the pressure comes up, going, I don't get this. And that opens their minds to accept the reality.
Well, they're coming after our kids now. You know, they're coming after our kids now, Ryan. I think they're going to poke Mama Bear in the eye, and she's going to wake up. And then this will all come to a crashing end instantly, period. They're shooting themselves in the foot right now coming after our kids, Ron.
Exactly.
And how many are going to get harmed before we put a stop to it, I don't know. But it is something, folks, that has to come to a stop, like yesterday. Ron, I got to thank you for coming in again, buddy. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
I thank you, and I thank Steve. You're a couple of really good guys. And much appreciate what you do.
Well, hang on, Barry.
We're all trying. Yes, Steve.
We will win. Don't worry about it. We will win. We just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
I wanted to say earlier, Ron, there's an Irishman that's in the group. He's been on a few times. He said they dragged him into court one time, and he told them that he was representing the legal faction. And the magistrate or the clown that called himself a judge said, get this man out of my courtroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, man.
We are the power, guys. We are the power. Okay, so have a great night, everybody, and take care. And thanks for having me on, Barry. And I hope you get the RCMP guy on.
I promise you, Ron, I'll be asking you in again in the very near future. You know that. So we'll talk again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming.
Okay, you guys take care. Have a great night.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in 3 minutes with Nancy and Irwin, two people from my little town of Terrace here that are absolutely got all kinds of great information about what they're trying to do to our children. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next hour. Hang around. Should be an interesting and probably an emotional conversation. Back in 3 minutes.
Thank you. daddy's mama, she was just 19. Couldn't say for certain who the father was, but I have known him since he was a pup, and I'm gonna raise him up. If you never knew your daddy like I never knew mine, it feels like everybody knows your father. Yes, this boy may not be blood of my blood, but I'm gonna raise him. I'll provide for him, walk beside of him. I am strong enough, 'cause it's time he knew what a son can do with a father's love. He can change the world. You only have to look at Joseph a couple thousand years ago, when he held a newborn baby he named Jesus. He said he may not be blood of my blood, still I'm gonna raise him up. I'll provide for him, walk beside of him. Here's to those across the land working in a place.
the boss man and the government say they can't share their faith. They know all too well they'll lose their job if they get caught. But to win a soul to Jesus, they will risk it all, because we're soldiers of the cross. We've been found to reach the lost in city streets, down country roads. We take you with us every day, everywhere we go. In the God of all creation, put our faith and trust and give our lives to you, because you gave your life for us. We are soldiers of the cross. We've been found to reach the lost in city streets, down country roads. We take you with us every day, everywhere.
Third hour, guys. Sir, we had a little bit of a technical problem with Skype with my guests for the third hour, so we had to call them in on their cell phone, but it's great to have them in. I'm joined by Nancy and Irwin. Now, their last names really get me confused because they're all over the place, but it's Amita Jeff. Amita Jeffrey, right? Nancy Amita Jeffrey. I hope I pronounced that correct. And Irwin.
Yeah, it's Portuguese. It's Amita Jeffrey.
Yeah. And Irwin, it's like Jeffrey. Irwin Jeffrey. Is that correct? I was really confused.
That is incorrect. Irwin Jeffrey.
Okay. Anyways, folks, welcome.
Blame my phone.
Well, it's just it was a mouthful. I hope I didn't mess that up too badly. But you know what? In all my years of, to be quite honest, folks, in all my years of doing radio, with one exception, I had one lady on. I'm from town here, but I don't normally get people from my own community joining me. But I had a chance to listen to Nancy and Irwin talk on Laura Lynn Thompson's show here about a week ago. And boy, I'll tell you, I was impressed with their level of knowledge as far as what they're trying to do to our children with the jab. So I invited these people to join me today for a little chat. Welcome to the show, guys. And I think it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you for having us, Barry, and giving us a voice here.
Well, you know what? Right now, we're really in society. Like, I'm kind of actually in shock that we are actually allowing health officials to inject our children with an experimental mRNA technology never used before on human beings. And here we are sticking into the bodies of our little children who, by all account, and I've done a lot of research, and I'm going to let you speak to this right away, Nancy, because I know this is something that really bugs the crap out of all of us right now. But, you know, I've looked at all the numbers, and as far as I can see, this COVID scamdemic has virtually no effect on our children at all. And now we want to stick this vaccine in all our children. Have we truly lost our minds, folks? Go ahead.
Yeah. I think one of the concerns that I have here, I just want to speak to a couple things before I read the letter that Bonnie Henry sent to a 13-year-old with no acknowledgement of parents whatsoever on this letter, which is extremely troublesome to me, and it should be for all parents. I don't care which side of it you should be on. And one of the things that I want to make very, very clear is that this is not about pointing fingers with regards to injected or uninjected. Okay, vaccine, not vaccine. Because what's happening here is we need each other, and we're going to need each other more and more as more stuff becomes apparent. And that's a real sobering thought. But we need to remember that we need to be united, not divided, on this matter. We both want the truth. We all love our families and our children and our communities and our provinces and our territories. We love our country. So we have a lot in common. So we need to be united in this because we all want the truth. We want to get to the bottom of the truth. And one of the biggest problems in this country, and you see this in the United States, you see this definitely in Australia, and throughout wherever there's Western civilization, you're looking at some very serious issues with mainstream media because you cannot do as much of the digging that we're doing and continue to do and not come to the conclusion there's something very nefarious going on, for sure. And it wants us divided. And if you look at mainstream media and you look at how they word things, people really need to pay attention to wordings now, more than ever before. It's all meant to pit people against one another. So they're ignoring information such as, because we now have more data, it's almost been 2 years, and we have more data to work with. And so there's some very serious concerns that the data that shows that people that have overcome COVID-19 and have natural immunity are much better off than those that are being injected. And a small example of what's happening around the world, and interrupt me anytime, because you know, Barry, I can go on forever. We have a small country like Israel that is about 2 months ahead of Canada and the United States regarding this matter. We're just going to use, there's other countries, but we'll use Israel as, because it is a smaller country. And most of their population, if not all, have been vaxxed or injected and double injected and booster shots now that we've gotten to this, to present time. And what they're finding is approximately 4 out of 5 people that are sick in the hospital are the injected people. So it's the injected people that are making about four out of five that are in the hospital that are the injected people. That's very concerning when we look at mainstream media, whether you're talking about CBC, CTV, Global, it doesn't matter. In Canada or in the United States, it's the same script. And that's the other thing that should be concerning, and people should pick up on this. It doesn't matter what you think you believe. What matters is we need to start paying attention to these similarities that we've never had before. It's unprecedented. So there's a lot happening, and there is a lot of concern. I want to know why mainstream media refuses to talk to the scientists, for example, that invented the original mRNA, who has a lot to say about this, or the inventor of the PCR test that is no longer with us, that said, please do not use the PCR test for this, 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 and this. And what are they doing? They are using the PCR test for this, this, and this. What is happening to our health authority in this country is mind-boggling.
They're inflating the numbers to push a political agenda. If I could just quickly go back to the Israeli study. One of the things about the Israeli study is that they have a political agenda, but this is real data. It's not like Canada where it seems that the health authority will either put the numbers through a filter or will construe it in such a way as to further the agenda to get people vaccinated. And in Israel, 85% of the people have been vaccinated, something like that. And this is going back a month already when the study was released. And they found almost 85 people in the hospital, and 85% of the new cases were the people that were vaccinated. So what it means is that the vaccination doesn't prevent you from developing COVID.
That's right.
It doesn't prevent you from spreading it. So if we take that into consideration, the whole passport mandate is based on a false premise. You still get it. You still spread it, regardless of being vaccinated or not. Where it stops is with people with natural immunity. That is
right.
Where herd immunity is going to be attained.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And, it's going to be achieved there.
And right now in mainstream media, and your movie stars and your sports stars and your music stars, and thank God it's not all of them, and some people are actually starting to come out and speak out against it, because they're seeing their fellow teammates falling flat on the basketball court or the football court or the soccer field. And mainstream media is not really showing you the numbers. They might show you one or two, but they're not giving you the right perception. And that's concerning to me.
The mainstream media is our biggest enemy in this country. You know, we all know that. They're not going to expose that to the public. I know these studies that you're talking about, and I've looked at it. These are world-class athletes dropping dead, or not dropping dead, but dropping over myocarditis right out the ears, unbelievably effects on the heart, and yet mainstream we hear crickets about it. So that's our problem
there. It's very serious, and that's another one that's a real serious concern because of the data that's coming out with regards to children. For the first time, we're actually getting some more information with regards to children, because for the longest time, from the time it started, children weren't being vaccinated. So there's not a whole lot of data at that point to see what the adverse reactions would be, if any, if there's any deaths,
right.
if any, right?
Right.
But now we do. So if you look at myocarditis, perimyocarditis, and so on, if you go and you investigate what this really is, right, and you compare notes, so here's some of what I've learned. Myocarditis includes, it affects the heart, okay? It affects the electrical current in your heart. And most people, you can have a mild case, and you can deal with that throughout your life. For those that have not a mild case, okay, in some instances, the only treatment is to have a heart transplantation. This is serious stuff.
I'd say.
And what they're not telling people is they're seeing this in children. Or they give people the impression that the amount of risk in this manner is negligible. So in other words, it's not that many. Well, if you have a child, right, if you have a child, as a parent, you're going to want to know the risks of that, because you could be the 1% that has to deal with this, and no one wants to take that risk, I would imagine, as a parent. So we have to be, very careful with the psychological I'm going to call it psychological abuse that the mainstream media has perpetrated on the public, the population of this country. You see it in America. You see it in Australia. And I really mean that, because when you use keywords like you're an anti-vaxxer, right, they start name-calling. And there's an article here. I'm going to find it because I think it's very important that people understand that this is actually meant to do harm. So if somebody hears the word anti-vaxxer, they automatically shut down. They don't hear anything you tell them. They're not going to. You can have the scientific peer-reviewed information in their face. When they hear certain words, they shut down. Psychologically, they're not going to receive anything from you.
Yeah, it's a politically loaded term, right? And it's used to leverage an argument.
Well, they're actually hypnotized right now, is what they are. We see that.
There seems to be really something going on, like a mass kind of conditioning.
Yeah, it's like a mass cognitive dissonance that has been perpetrated. But I would like to ask, going back to this letter that we received, I'd like to set this up, if you're okay with us doing this right now.
Go ahead.
So I want to set this up. This is my nephew. He's 13 years old. And he's been diagnosed with something for a while that includes having flare-ups. And so he was at the beginning stages of a flare-up when he received this letter. His parents and him received this letter. Okay? And so he already knows what he's into. He's in for. He knows it's going to be extremely painful, and it's going to be too long. Do you understand? And so also, he sees what his parents are going through, because many parents that are in this position that know what's going on are listening to the doctors that are putting their licensing on the line. This is literally, especially since of Thursday of this week in BC, they're having a difficult time with how do we navigate through these waters, because we don't trust the system, and they have every reason not to trust the system. So I'm going to share a story. This was fairly recent, and this was in the States, and it was an ERN, an emergency nurse, that went to her shift, and they were told that they were bringing in a child, 8 years old male, who was having heart issues. And so they brought him in. The team was waiting for him. They brought him in, and lo and behold, it's her 8-year-old son. Her 8-year-old, you're a nurse, you're at work, you're working the emergency room, right? Your son comes in with a heart issue. You come to find that the school injected him without your consent or your husband's consent. This is a medical procedure. This is not going to on a field trip or anything, okay? So that's what the health authority is doing. Whether you're in Canada, whether you're in the States, whether you're in Australia, people need to pay attention to this. I do not say these things to scare you. I want to inform you. And I'm hoping that by the time we finish with this radio interview, people understand the importance of, regardless of whether you're injected or not injected, that we unite and stand together and are there for each other when the truth really comes out. So I'm going to read you this letter. Oh, and by the way, so the child, the 8-year-old male, her son, ends up with myocarditis because of this injection. So her child is one of the few, apparently, the health authority wants you to believe it's just the numbers are a few, but she ended up with one of those few. So, you know, we need to really seriously consider these things. This is really a thing. When people call people anti-vaxxers, or they're trying to disqualify them because they're not doctors, or I don't need to be a doctor. I'm not going out to practice medicine. That doesn't mean that I can't study the information. There's many doctors that are on platforms like Laura Lynn Tyler's, and they're teaching us about this. They're talking to us in layman's terms and as much as possible in means that we can understand. It's our duty to ourselves and our children, our community, our country.
Absolutely.
To not be intellectually lazy and do some work. I'm going to read you this letter. October 4th is when it was written. It was received by my brother's family on October 13th, at which time he sent it to me, and he said, look at this. I'm looking at this letter. It's from British Columbia, Health Authority, planning for your COVID-19 vaccine. There is no mention of parents at all, and they do that on purpose. And I believe they do it on purpose, because if they actually acknowledge the existence of parents in the child or children's lives, they also are acknowledging the legal responsibilities that parents have to this child. So they're circumventing all of this by saying there's no parents, because there's no parents that are being acknowledged on this letter. Here's how it reads. Invitation to register COVID-19 vaccination. The provincial COVID-19 immunization team is writing to you to encourage you to register in the immunization system and either begin or continue your vaccine series. Please listen to the wordings here. It's very important. Please remember, this child is at the beginning of a flare-up. He knows what he's in for, and now he's reading this with his parents, okay? You are receiving this letter because our review shows that you may have an increased chance of serious illness due to the impact of certain conditions and or medications or treatments relevant to your health care. As such, you have been identified as, this is in quotes, clinically extremely vulnerable with respect to COVID-19. The conditions or medications relevant to you also mean that two doses may not be sufficient for you to develop the same immune response as the rest of the population, and you are eligible for a three-dose series. The letter contains websites and all of that, and down below, in bold, underlined, it says, should you get vaccinated? Please hear this. This is from our health authority. Every province is going through this. Every territory is going through this. Our health authority says COVID-19 vaccination is safe and recommended for people with your health condition or those who take your medication and treatment. Bold-faced liars. Bold-faced liars. You know what? You have these parents. The father lost his job because he won't be filling out any form because, as we know, they're flagging you. They're doing this. It just came out in the United States. There was a whistleblower and a nurse that worked in a certain part of the hospital. She came out with this, and she was explaining to people how they're flagging you. So he doesn't want to fill out a form. Health authority says, well, you have to fill out the form because we need to know how many vials to provide for this work environment. And his take was, well, if those people who want to take it, they can fill out the form so that you can know exactly who wants to take the injections, and those that don't want to don't need to participate in any of this. So you're still going to get the accurate numbers of the viral the injections that you need. So they were forcing him to file. Now, I've read these emails, and I listened to the I've read the letters that this person, there was this interaction. This person had every right to deny these people what they were doing. So this father, who's dealing with this situation, who is the only financial support in that family, the only financial earner, he no longer has a job because apparently this family is not going through enough. And our government is okay with that. Our health authority is okay with that, provincially and federally.
The worst part about it all is some of our citizens are okay with this. That is the most disturbing part, that they're sitting back watching this go on. They're sitting back watching their friends and neighbors lose their jobs, and they're not doing anything about it. That, to me, is more disturbing than all government, because we know the government's what they're trying to do to us, Nancy.
But that goes to show you the power of mainstream media, Hollywood, and sports figures, people have to understand that this is not working in their favor. And you're very right. I have a friend that's in Ontario, and they had a small get-together in front of their health authority with about 40 people. They even had first responders honking them, you know, and as they go by and encouraging them, okay? So there's an editorial out there, and it's very disturbing that people think on one breath they talk about our veterans and the people that fought in World War II and how we have to remember that they fought for democracy. And right after that, they say that sometimes with democracy, you have to limit rights, right? Well, when you limit rights in democracy under any circumstances, and this has never happened in the modern history, how they're approaching this is never in the case of modern history have we had our rights taken away from us. Okay, at this level, to this extent, to this extreme, and it's all global. Because apparently, you know, we're not supposed to remember that we've been forewarned by the New World Order, by the globalists, that this is to take place, the Bill Gates and so on, who have hurt so many people on this planet. They have hurt so many children on this planet, and the mainstream media refused to report on it. And so if you want to know all of this information, you must go to alternative news sources, and there's a lot of reputable ones out there, right? And then what people don't understand is the perception that is given. There's a lot of trolls out there on chat rooms and so on where you're taking this in like it's a friend that you know, right? It's a chat person, right? And people don't think that there's trolls out there. giving people a twist on their perspective. They did this in World War II. This is a propaganda schmoz, is what I'm, and my concern is, if you think that you need to take democratic rights from people in order to deal with something where they still have yet to isolate the virus, you need to get your head on screwed on tight.
You try and tell people that, Nancy. Try and tell them that they haven't isolated the virus, and they look at you like you've got two heads. They won't go look at the information themselves, but they just absolutely call you crazy.
No, they automatically assume that you're not looking at information that is correct.
Well, they look at
you like you're attacking them. This is how they're receiving it. So even if it's a family member, even if it's a friend that you've known for years, all of that information about the kind of person you are, all the accolades that they ever gave you about how informed you are, how intelligent you are, or how they do this or that, all of that goes out the window. All of it goes out the window. You're a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, because nobody ever brings up that if there's tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, there's also conspiracy strategists, and that's what we're dealing with here as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? Myself, I've lost family, friends. I mean, my family doesn't want to talk to me at all because they're all on board with the agenda. And, myself, all we can do is share information that we know is true. And if people refuse to accept it, so be it. But my family doesn't want to talk to me about this at all. I can't bring this subject up at all. It's immediate shutdown. And that's sad. It really is. It's sad. But it's what I'm dealing with.
It's sad, Barry, but people also, the way that I'm approaching this is people have to discover things for themselves. The problem, and it's symptomatic of just what you're saying, that anything that goes against the prevailing themes is somehow now discredited because it doesn't line up with the narrative.
Well, of course.
It's de facto because of that, right? So we've got to a place where science has become so politicized, or everything has become so politicized, which is what we're doing here. We're not scientists. We've got an investment in what's happening, of course. It's our lives. It's our family lives. It's people's lives.
Community
life. And so what we're seeing is a political thing. And so we're digging down into the data, and the data doesn't support the narrative that's being presented. It's based on a false dichotomy.
They're getting away with it. Well, you know, look at the Ontario government just extended their Emergency Act for another 4 months at the end of March.
Yeah.
It's just going to go on and on and on. Of course, now they've got a new variant coming out. Oh, wait a second. Moderna came out and said, hey, we've got a vaccine for that in about 2 months, guys. No problem. We'll test it for 3 weeks to make sure it's safe. You know, and people go, okay, give me that one. You know, like, it's just crazy.
If I may just interject, I know you've got some, but here's the problem. The thing is that people don't know to say, okay, listen, the injection is not working. It's not keeping me from COVID-19. It's supposed to help me with my symptoms so that I don't go through the symptoms as severely. But if we're being told the truth, and if the current data now with the science behind it says that people that have natural immunity, their natural immunity lasts a lot longer, than the injection. So now they're bringing in boosters. And you'll have to have a booster, maybe some people 3 months, maybe some people 6 months. And they're talking about this. So the reality here is, we have to stop attacking one another and understanding that our doctors, some of our doctors and our nurses and our pharmacists, they're not told this stuff. They're getting their stuff from health authorities. So they're just doing their job. Now, there are doctors that have decided, some doctors have decided, they're just going to go with health authority and everything else they're going to ignore because it's easier that way. They're not into losing their licensing, and I get that. But then we have doctors that have taken an oath, whether you're in British Columbia, Ontario, I don't care, whether in Canada or the United States, I don't care. They've taken an oath to do no harm. And they are doing harm. That, at the end of the day, will vindicate itself in that context. So people, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to be at each other's throats? Because a lot of this is psychological, obviously. People are scared. They want to go back to normal. People are scared. And now you're telling them that what they've taken is hurting them? Yeah, I'm expecting people to have a problem receiving this. But all I can do, I mean, let me tell you something. You know, we are very much aware of what's going on in our northern region here. And in December of 2020, the first people, to the best of my understanding, the first people that were injected were our mentally disabled people, our seniors, and our Canadian North American Indian brothers and sisters. Okay,
the elders, and the our elders especially. Yeah. Go ahead.
And our frontline workers, you know, our first responders. Okay, so now we have. When we were on Laura Lynn's show, and that was this November 23rd, this Tuesday that passed. She mentioned to us that there is a Canadian North American Indian community where they have experienced, at that time when she told us, 6 miscarriages in their community. And so the chiefs, thank God for them, to say, we're putting no more, stop what we're doing, because we didn't have this issue at this extreme ever. And so we're going to stop everything that we're doing that we've introduced that's new. This is rational thinking. This is logical. So we're going to stop the jabs. We're going to stop the boosters. We're going to stop everything until we get to the bottom of this. That's responsible. That's being responsible.
Yeah, saying that the shot is safe tells us one of two things. Either you're not aware of the data or you're lying. It's one of the two. You can't say that it's safe because, with the VAERS, all kinds of different reactions to the jab, there's such a obfuscation of the data. There's a covering over of the data. It's not being published. It's being censored, of course. Let me just quickly read something here from a little article by Dr. Paul Alexander, part of the Unity Project, and I would encourage everybody to have a look at that, unityproject.com. You've got...
No, it's unityprojectonline.com.
Online.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Nevertheless, there's a little paper here, and he's looked at a bunch of different papers, and he's recorded some of the abstracts, and here's a paper by Salvatore et al. I don't know the dates, but just listen to what their conclusion was. Clinicians and public health practitioners should consider vaccinated persons who have become infected with SARS to be no less infectious than unvaccinated persons. So it doesn't matter if you've had the jab, you're just as capable. And even some state or some papers indicate that the vax might be more capable of spreading this SARS than even people that have been than unvaxxed. And this doesn't even consider the middle category, and you see this in Canada, the middle category, a very important category, and I would say the most important category other than deaths, and that's people with natural immunity, right? That's not even showing up in the data and the manipulation of the culture or manipulation of the society. And getting back to your point also, Barry, about having trouble with your family and neighbors and the unvaxxed are almost like, you know, the Holocaust deniers or the climate deniers. They're the pariahs now. You know, so if you have some real questions, scientific questions, medical questions, because you're looking at the data and something about it just doesn't seem right, and you know that you're being manipulated. You can feel it. You're being manipulated, pressured into something that, well, no, I'm going to step back from this because I'm getting pushed into something here. You know, your antennas go up. There's flags here. There's something going on.
Mm-hmm. And also with the unvaccinated and the natural immunity, they also have not, they don't have any data whatsoever that if you have natural immunity to it, but you get COVID-19, you don't pass it to people. They don't have any of this, anything to do with people that have natural immunity is somewhat being ignored, I would say.
Well, the science—it's all brand new science, guys. No, don't you know that? I mean, everything that we knew in the past has just been thrown out the window because this is a new science. it's a joke.
But Barry, you know what? People, when people hear that, the first thing that they should know—a lot of this is my people suffer for lack of knowledge—is very true. When you hear those things, the first thing that a person should go to is, wait a minute, there are procedures, at high level scientific procedures with regards to anything new. They have to follow that, and they're not.
Well, none of that is being followed. You know, it's thrown out the window.
No, they're not. Now, if you give me a moment here, I'm going to find the Nuremberg Code. Erwin, you can take over here for a bit.
Well, I was just going to say that the whole point, you know, in this letter to our nephew, where the state has inserted itself as the parent, that's really ominous. That's really ominous here. And when it's stated, when Bonnie states that, you know, it's a safe vaccine, well, it's safe if you don't have the information, right? So it's not informed consent. That's imperative in this situation, to know the risk, to be able to do a risk assessment. So the data coming out, there's a pretty clear picture of the data. You know, it's after 2 years now. And if we don't filter it through a particular political lens, the data seems to suggest pretty strongly that, again, the jab doesn't protect you from developing or spreading COVID. There's evidence to show that it helps prevent you from dying. Great. Yes. But the whole basis of the passport, the jab passport, is that you need to get it, because without it, you know, herd immunity is not going to be attained. Let me just read the concluding couple of sentences here from this paper by Dr. Alexander. After looking at all these other papers, he says, and again, the goal or the interest here is to try to prevent a vaccine mandate being imposed on kids in California. He's writing this to parents in California to push back against this vaccine mandate. So he says, as such, COVID vaccines should not be expected to contribute to eliminating the communal spread of the virus or the reaching of herd immunity. And I'd underline this. This unravels the rationale for vaccine mandates and passports. It's irrational to be pushing this.
Yeah. And so I'm going to read to you guys I'm sorry, Barry, did you want to say something?
Maybe one time during the course of the show. Yeah. I wouldn't mind saying a couple. It is my show. I've been wanting to put a few thoughts in there, but boy, you guys you're like Roger Landry, Mr. and Mrs. Landry. I'm saying that in a good way because I get Roger on my show, and it's really hard for me to get a word in edgewise, but everything you're saying here, I mean, I absolutely agree with. And what I was just going to say has completely lost my mind right now. So you guys go ahead. But basically everything you've said, I agree with. I haven't disagreed with anything you've said. Vaccine passport. What this vaccine passport is the loss of body autonomy. When we lose control of our body to the government, then there will be no turning back, because once they've achieved that level of control over society, you'll never get it back short of a civil war or a complete uprooting of the governmental system in our country, which is what is necessary right now, but very hard to get people to embrace. The current system is going to destroy us, and it's not going to take long right now. We see what's going on in this country. I give it 2 or 3 years, and if we don't all get our acts together real quick, we are going to get steamrolled. My thoughts on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you pay attention, the trajectory is ominous. You know, we're heading into something here, I think, that could go really badly.
One book that everybody should read, I'll interject, because I've said this many times on my show, is you've got to read the Communist Manifesto. And I'm not a book reader, but I sat down and made myself read that. It took me a while, but I tried to comprehend everything that was in there. And basically, if you read that book right now, you'll be crossing the T's and dotting the I's exactly what's going on in our world. Almost to the T.
Yeah,
another example of it, of course, is World War II Germany. I mean, you look at Germany prior to the Second World War, 100%. And everything they were doing, we're doing in our society, almost to the T. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Sure. And everything you're saying is correct. The other book that people should read seriously is and hear me. COVID. Now, there's a book out that was published a few years ago. Yeah. Before this all started, COVID-19, right? Yeah, that's right. COVID-19 reset. They should read that too. And maybe then they'll be able to listen to what people have to say that have actually been on the front lines, that are putting their lives on the line, literally, because these people play for keeps. It's not a joke. And all you have to do is find out what happened to Pastor Archer Pulowski, where people tried to burn down his house with them in it. Okay, that happened in Alberta. But let me just read to you the 10 points of the Nuremberg Code. Before I do that, I have a stack of documents here from Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, MD, Harvey A. Weiss from MD. I probably mispronounced his last name. His last name is spelled R-I-S-C-H. He's an MD. He's also a PhD. And George C. Farid, MD. Okay. They have exhaustive information, scientific information, that there was drugs that were available to help people with this whole thing. Now, when you go into an emergency, what do you call that again, Erwin?
The Emergency Act.
Emergency Use Act. Okay, there cannot be, now this is to the best of my understanding, believe me, I've been doing my homework, there cannot be drugs that are currently available that will help with the situation. Why? Because these injections they've never had this type of technology. This is all very new, and it is experimental. So everything is done to ensure the safety of the human being, their safety, their well-being, not just for today, but for the future. So if there's existing drugs that are already in existence, they will not use these drugs. It can't be categorized under Emergency Use Act.
Right.
Okay? Now, I want to clear some things up, because I've heard people think that ivermectin is just horse medicine, because the mainstream media has played that record, okay? So ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, okay? The World Health Organization has a list of the top 10 drugs they must have on tap 24/7, 365 days of the year to give to humans. Guess the two that are part of that top 10, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. For the first time for some people, they're starting to understand that there are crossover drugs. So there's drugs that you can use for humans that in certain quantities you can use for animals. Ivermectin is one of them. But they have been using ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and others on human beings for decades upon decades.
Since the 1970s.
Yes. And ivermectin, the inventor of ivermectin, received
the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2015 because of such a benefit that ivermectin has bestowed upon humanity.
And also ivermectin has received medical awards as well.
Yeah.
But the mainstream media wants you to to believe this is just a horse medicine. And I listen, there's intelligent people. I know them. They're intelligent. They love their families. They love their communities. This is not a dig against them at all. We're all in this together for sure. But the bottom line is, know your information. And when you do that, when you go on the WHO, unless they've taken it down, if you go to the World Health Organization and you look at the top 10 medications they must have, ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, they're on there. They're, of course. And they've been given to people.
So but please, they won't let us have it.
Because this is the reason I'm telling you this is because of what I'm going to read you.
Well, listen, Nancy, we only got about 4 minutes left right now on the show, unfortunately. So I don't think you'll be able to get the codes in. I tell people in my audience, I've told them many times to go read the codes. Everybody should read the codes. But we only got, like I said, about 4 minutes left here. So why don't we talk about a few other short points, and I'll let people maybe give you a chance to tell people where you can find them or where you can find you and Irwin. And we do have a town hall coming here in a very short period of time. We've got four apparently really, really high-class doctors, very, very knowledgeable doctors coming to town. So that's exciting. Like I said, we're seeing lots of pushback in the community now. You talked about that earlier, and you're absolutely correct that people do seem to be waking up now at an accelerated rate. So it is really important to keep doing what we're doing. I love your passion, and I love the base of knowledge you've got. I thank you guys for coming in. But why don't you have some last thoughts there for a couple minutes, and we'll have to let you go. But we could get you back in again in the near future. Because this was fun.
I'm just going to read the number two code, number two of the Nuremberg Code. The experiment should be such as you yield fruitful results for the good of society, unprocurable by other methods or means of study, and not random and unnecessary in the future. Believe me when I tell you, they've broken this rule. Go ahead, Irwin.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say in closing here, one of the crucial points and what really got us, especially Nancy, with this letter to her nephew, the ominous projection here is they've bypassed the parents, it's gone right to the child. So how long hence will it be before a doctor shows up at the door with some hired RCMP officers to take the children away because you're negligent parents? You're not paying attention to the science. And you know, you're abusing your kids.
And that's happening in Australia right now.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what? People say that can't happen in Canada. Well, you know what, folks? It can and it will happen if we allow this cancer to keep growing in our society. It's not going to stop until we stand up to it, period. Go ahead, Nancy.
And forcing people and forcing people to have the injections is also happening in Canada. And we need to talk about that as well. It's happened with the Indigenous people in Australia. And if you think it's not happening in Canada, the problem here is people are saying, if it happens. No, it's happening here. This is all happening here. Yeah.
Yep. And it's not going to go away, guys. Well, you know what? I got to thank you guys for coming in. That was a really enjoyable conversation. I know there's probably a million other things we could hit on, but we only have the hour. But I'll make a point, if you guys like, we'll get you back in here in the near future and we can continue this conversation. Last thoughts from you guys before I let you go?
Thank you so much for giving us a voice and encouraging us and all of that, because we don't need enemies right now. We just need people who are wanting the truth, and we're not at each other's throats. We need unity so we can be strong and not divided. United we stand, divided we fall, and believe me, you may not be at war with your enemies, but your enemies are at war with you, that's for sure.
Amen. Irwin?
I just quoted you.
You just quoted me, you caught me off.
Okay, well, hey, if you've said what you want to say and that's it, I'll thank you guys for coming in again.
Thank you.
For sure, Bert.
Okay, folks, well, that was a wrap for this week. I didn't thank my producer at the beginning of the show for producing for me, so I want to thank my producer. I want to thank my guests for coming in today and sharing their thoughts. It's been an enjoyable Sunday afternoon, and I look forward to being back here next week with you guys again. I really enjoy my time here, and I hope you've enjoyed what we brought forward today. You guys all have a great week, and God bless you, and I'll be back next week. Bye for now.